Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, ARCA, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, what do you say we light it up? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr., right here in the RTR studio. And we've got a great lineup for you tonight. Man, we're going to talk the next 2 hours nonstop about racing. Well, right up here in Canada, you'll hear from what all took place in California this weekend. And we got lots and lots coming at you. Junior, what do you think? Good weekend in racing?
Yeah, great weekend. Two very energetic and kind of sentimental winners. Over in California.
Yeah, sure was. Kind of wish Jimmy Johnson would have won the race. He was strong throughout the course of the day, but so was Ryan Blaney and so many guys up front today. But it was the 88, Alex Bowman picking up his second win in the Cup Series. Good for him.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, back against the wall, kind of pressurized. You see that play out lots in the Cup Series. You know, you heard Jeff Gordon kind of mention it, that, you know, he doesn't really have any firm contract talks in for 2021 as of yet. So, you know, it's time to go.
And
how often do you see that in the Cup Series?
Yeah, not
you know,
often.
It's very often. That's what I mean, is when they have the pressure like that, it seems like they get a little bit of a pep in their step and they go out and perform.
Well, hope they do.
Yeah, for sure. And when you look at Alex Bowman and the lack of success kind of goes hand in hand with what has taken place with the Chevy Camaro.
Yeah.
Basically, since
good
it came
to
into
see
the Cup
it back
series.
On the rails,
man,
right?
it's on the rails and powerful. Holy,
yeah.
They're doing some great things right now with Chevrolet and looking over at the Xfinity race. I would score the Xfinity race a solid 8.5 out of 10 yesterday.
Yeah.
That was a great race. They put on a whale of a show yesterday in the Xfinity race. So, of course, if you're listening, later on in the week, we're talking about Saturday's Xfinity race, but, just a great weekend overall, makes everybody fired up, for this season's racing.
You sure
know,
does.
Every week, everybody that we talk to, is got their eyes peeled on what's happening down there and working on their stuff in the shop. And I know a bunch of the guys that we're going to talk to tonight are those types of guys that are in the shop working and grinding it out, getting ready for 2020.
Before I get to the lineup tonight, let's talk about the other news that took place over the week during last week. With reference to the Gander Truck Series, bounty put out on Mr. Busch. Can he go out and win again? It started out with Kevin Harvick putting up $50,000. And then I believe the people from Busch jumped in, threw another 50, or
nope.
Marcus Lemonis.
Lemonis from Gander.
Yeah. Busch threw beer at the guys
for a year if
they could go out and beat Kyle Busch. So it's up to $100,000. And now you've got Chase Elliott going to jump into a truck. He'll be in a GMS truck come Atlanta. That's the next race. What do you think? Can he do it?
Yeah. It's Chase Elliott first, and then race number two in the deal is Kyle Larson, both with GMS. So there's two bullets in the chamber already, which is pretty cool. They put up Kevin Harvick put up $50,000, of course. Marcus Lemonis put up $50,000, matched it. Now, that is only for Cup drivers.
Right.
Right? It's only for full-time Cup drivers. If they want to jump in and go race, they're racing for $100,000 on top of the payout, but they're racing for $100,000 in bonus.
Yep. In bounty bonus.
Yeah. Stuart Friesen, his sponsor, Holmar International, he put up $50,000. There's been a divide amongst the NASCAR fan base. Surprising, right? but a lot of people were like, well, you know, why are you going to offer, you know, the big bucks for the big buck guys in the Cup Series to come down and race in the Truck Series? And I get it. It's a phenomenal idea. It's an awesome bounty. It's a wicked deal. You know, it was spurred off of a comment by a girl that said, you know, that they should make it interesting and put a bounty on them. I get it that it's about, you know, putting Cup guys in trucks.
Yeah.
But Chris, of course, the president of Holmar International, put up $50,000 for anybody that goes out and beats Kyle Busch. So if you beat Kyle Busch, you win the race. Holmar International will also write you a check for $50,000. Now, that can be given to a Cup guy if he comes in and wins. So it's $150,000 effectively for the Cup guys now. But it's also $50,000 if you're a truck regular and you go out and beat Kyle Busch.
That's
definitely a cool step in the right direction. It's been interesting. You're hearing different things about, you know, the Kyle Busch saying, what's in it for me? You know, because usually when there's a bounty, there's something in it for both sides. And, you know, if you go out and win, there's an added bonus.
Well, he'll be 8 for 8 if he goes out and wins in that truck again.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's 7 for 7 right now.
Yeah.
So what's in it for him?
If he'd do that if there was no bounty.
Yeah.
Like he'd go for that win regardless. Both Kevin Harvick and Marcus Lemonis, if nobody beats them, they write the check to Kyle Busch's foundation.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Now that's just the Harvick money and the Gander Mountain money, if nobody beats them.
Do you know what would make it really interesting for me?
What's that?
Instead of bonus money, I would like to have it where, and to keep it fair, it's got to be a KBM truck. But before the green flag goes, the fans get to select one of the three KBM trucks that Kyle will race that night.
You couldn't really do that, though, because the other two guys are racing for points.
I know. Right? And they're set up and everything else. Yeah. But that, to me, he is 7 for 7 in that same truck.
Yeah. Well, in that team's truck.
Yeah.
In the 51 team truck.
That's
not
right.
In the same piece. But
no,
yes.
But I would think that it would be really cool if he switched vehicles.
Yeah.
Just before.
Yeah.
And let's see what he can do then.
Yeah.
That to
There's no question about it. KBM is lightning fast.
They are.
Kyle Busch can overcome what the truck can't do. So you know, it's really interesting. I seen a really cool tweet, and two guys that got absolutely annihilated last year in those KBM trucks by their boss, by Kyle Busch, Todd Gilliland, and Harrison Burton.
Yeah,
now
those two guys.
Harrison Burton couldn't win. Todd Gilliland couldn't win. Of course, he did end up going out and winning at Martinsville. The previous year, Noah Gregson and the crop that they had, you know, Todd Gilliland was part time at the time, and Christopher Bell, of course, Eric Jones came through that program. But you know, last year KBM was virtually winless without their Cup guys, without Kyle Busch and without Greg Biffle and those guys. When you look at Harrison Burton, goes out and wins this weekend.
Yeah, he
you
did.
Know, and in strong fashion.
Yeah.
So Kyle Busch is so good that you could put him in a subpar piece of equipment.
That's what I'd like to
see. And he can drive. No, but I guarantee, without knowing, I can honestly say that the 4 truck, that the 51 truck, the 54 truck are all equal. I mean, Kyle Busch, everything that he puts on the racetrack is top of the line.
Yep.
And Now, are they set up the same? Do they have the same feedback through practice? Do they have the same driving techniques behind the wheel? Do the setups work for everybody? No.
No.
But it never is the case. Kyle Busch can overcome all of that stuff by doing 10 laps out on the racetrack and coming in and being like, the truck needs this, this, and this, and I can go 2/10 quicker. And they do this, this, and this, and he goes 2.5 tenths quicker.
Yeah.
Right? So it's... I mean, Kyle Busch just has that ability. Not everybody does have that ability. And that's what kind of makes him so great. So when I hear about all this bounty stuff, it is exciting. I think it's going to be cool. I'll be tuned in.
I guarantee it.
I want to watch Chase Elliott go after it. I want to watch Kyle Larson go after it if Chase can't knock him off.
Stuart Friesen, I want to see go after it.
Yeah, well, they're going after the 50K, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
I mean... It's really cool. I've only seen one bounty play out in person, right?
Oh, yeah?
One bounty.
Who's that?
Jeff Ribberty at Sauble Speedway.
Yeah.
That's it.
I remember, honestly, that's a very long time ago. Yeah.
And it wasn't really a bounty. It's just you offered him a bonus to go to the back, and you paid him by car that he finished in front of.
Keith Dempster, too.
$50 a car that he finished in front of. And if you beat him, you got a bonus $500.
Yep.
And, like, that was cool. I mean, the grandstands were a buzz because of that.
Yeah.
And we're talking, you know, $500 or $600 back in the day. And in TQ Midgets at a local short track that's a quarter mile, you know?
Yep.
So it was exciting back then for everybody that was on the property. But the bounty deal is really cool. I think that... any driver that has a bounty placed on him, really, they need to take that to the bank. They need to cherish that because it's pretty cool. Like, it's something that, you know, states you're the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of drivers aspire to be that good and that dominant and everything. And, you know, you look at guys like Brandon Watson. When he went on that run in the APC series in 2018.
Yep.
That was an opportunity for a bounty.
Sure,
you
was.
Know?
Sure was.
He was so good at the time, and
Andrew
so
had a year like that too.
Andrew Grizel had a year like that in the APC
yep.
Tour. You know, when the bounty program is something that is cool. It's different. When I look at all forms of motorsports today, it's crazy the numbers that get thrown around, right? So Jukasa has a $175,000 to win pro late model race. And everybody's jacked up about it,
thought
right?
It was 150 this year.
It's 175.
Is it 175 grand this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's interesting, right? It's that number is a crazy number. But I feel like back in the day when the Goodyear Challenge Cup was being advertised for $10,000 to win, that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
That was a massive deal. When the Great Canadian Race was being marketed as a $10,000 to win race, that was a massive deal. And when you look on the national side, when they were racing for $1 million, I remember being plastered to the TV watching somebody race for $1 million.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest thing ever, right? The Winston No Bull.
Or the Legends. Remember the Legend race for $1 million?
But all of that stuff, like, it has gone, the excitement by numbers is not there. You know, now, back in the day when it was the $1 million bonus to win,
it was
like life-changing. Everybody looked at it as like, oh my goodness, this is the craziest number. They're going to race for that much money?
Yeah.
You're going to get to drive a race car and at the end of the day win that much money? Like, it was a crazy deal. These guys are doing that every time they strap in now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It would be like the equivalent of today them saying, okay, the winner of this race gets $1 billion.
Yes.
But that number is not as exciting as what it was at $1 million back in the day. So... when I look at $150,000, I listen to the Barstool Sports thing, and that's a whole other topic to get into. But the Barstool Sports podcast with Dave Portnoy and those guys, talking with Clint Boyer, they asked Kyle Busch how much it would cost for the Cup guy to get in to the race to race him for $100,000 at the time.
Right.
And Kyle Busch was very open and candid about it. $140,000. So it's a losing proposition right out of the gate. If
sure.
you want the top-of-the-line equipment, if you want to rent a KBM equipment, you can do it all day. Write a $140,000 check and jump in and go race. But you're racing for $100,000.
Right.
Plus the payout that you're racing for. But it still doesn't equal out.
No.
But when you look at these numbers, you know, it's really interesting. What is the tipping point for somebody to be like, I need to attend that. I need to race in that. I need to see it. I need to go as a fan to see it. Is that something that is attractive, or what is attractive to the entire industry now? For what makes an event alluring for
yeah.
everybody, or
yeah.
for the mass majority?
Yeah, the big money payout mm-hmm. for the winner of the race. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Back in the day, that you know, put a big silly number on it, and that's going to create a ton of excitement, and people will come out. Today, I don't know whether I don't know. The big number is still going to pay, like the Short Track Nationals. I can't see there being more cars there this year than there was last year, the year previous, because it was both goofy money as well.
Yeah,
so I can't see it generating any more cars than what it did the year before.
Well, it did year over year. Last year there was 12 more cars than there was the year before. And
okay.
And a lot of people would argue that there was 12 more cars, but there was 30 more
quality.
30 more on the quality side.
Right. Right.
So they had a lot more names at this year's, and I think that step is going to take the same direction into 2020.
Yeah.
I honestly feel that there's going to be another step, and I wouldn't doubt that it's 40 or 50 more
cars
on the no.
Cars? No.
No, no.
No, no.
40 or 50 more or quality.
Quality cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of the 62 that were on the property last year, there was a good chance that given the right setup that any one of those cars could be in the top 10 at the end of that race.
Right.
So, you know, that just goes to show the quality that was in the pit area for that race and the names that are thrown around already, the Steven Nassies of the world, that haven't been in attendance in the past
right.
are being tossed around. And then as well, the names from the East Coast, I think there's more and more names that are willing to come.
Back to what you were saying, though. Is it going to create more people to be at the
event? And that's where I'm going with
this. There was less people
yeah.
at last year's than there was first year.
What makes an event alluring for all of the stakeholders in and this is not talking about the Canadian Short Track Nationals.
No.
This is talking about all events.
Sure.
There has to be
other
a healthy balance.
Other than the IWK 250, because that continues to build.
Not in car count, though.
Not in car count, but
not
I
in
could
car
tell.
Count.
People
but in
wise.
People wise, it is. But in car count, it's not.
No,
we send cars home
every year.
But they send a couple cars home every year, right? I think it's like 12.
Six, seven?
Yeah.
Six, seven guys don't make the IWK 250.
Correct. Yeah. Now, you know, it's not about how many cars go home. It's to make a great event.
No.
But
it's the amount of fans that show up to it. That is
that
to
what
me,
makes the event?
Yeah, it is.
I don't think
yeah,
that's what makes the event, though.
Well, that's a good barometer to tell you whether that event is what it is. When people show up to it, can't wait to get there year after year after year, that's what it's all about. It's about building the history of a race, and if there is something attainable there, fans will continue to show up, and they'll show up in great numbers, and you'll have more this year than you did last year.
Yeah.
And that's what I can tell you from doing the IWK for the last 10 years. There's been more people each year, year after year, that attend the IWK 250.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I get excited every year for that race, not just because we broadcast it.
Okay.
But I get excited to look at that race.
Yeah.
To go watch it. It yeah. is a nail biter every year.
Yeah.
Every year. I haven't seen one stinker yet.
No, exactly. And there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of everything on the line. There's a lot of prestige.
I don't even think of the money that they're offering.
You don't. The competitors do, right? That's why, like, they don't send seven or eight cars home every year or every race in the Pro Stock Tour.
No, the IWK 250 had happened.
Correct, so. Correct.
Yeah. So, it speaks of the event.
Yep. So when you look at you know, getting back to the topic of $100,000 being offered up to Cup guys going out and racing.
Right.
They're getting quite the PR spin, and they're getting the value
yep.
out of it because we're talking about it and not getting paid for it. Everybody else is talking about it, not getting paid for it. It's a good deal for everybody involved.
Sure.
It's exciting. It's going to create excitement.
Let's see if it creates fans.
Yeah.
Let's see if it does that.
That's the thing that, you know, really I hope translates into it. I hope that the fans get an experience that you know, they wouldn't have had
without it. Yeah.
And when you look across the board on the amount of money that you know, is frivolously thrown out
nah.
into payout, into media spend, into, you know, all of the different things to create an event, are there going to be more people in the grandstand at those races?
Nah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I hope there is.
I hope that there is as well. Just when you look at the grand scheme of things, I find it so fascinating to look at the sport and look at the financial aspect of what motorsports is and the impact that it creates. It's incredible
how much
money is in motorsports. Not only how much it costs to go racing, because everybody always says racing's expensive. And we've said it at least once every show that we've ever been on the air. It's an expensive sport. That's why the sponsors are so key. That's why the family partners are so key. That's why the fundraisers are so key. All of those things. That's why the payouts are so key by the racetracks. But I find it so interesting to look at how much funding goes into local Saturday night, to you know, to the truck races, to the cup races, to the F1 races. Everything is on a ranging scale, but it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? There's no rhyme or reason to where the money is.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's... And
can't put your finger on it anyway.
You can't put your finger on where the money is going, where it's coming from, where it's going to be coming from. There's no sustainable model in motorsports of where the money is going to come from.
Well, the richest race, right, for the Cup Series is the Daytona 500.
Yes.
A lot of emphasis goes into the Daytona 500. It's the Super Bowl of stock car racing. It's
do you know what the second
everything.
Richest is?
The second richest NASCAR Cup race?
Yes.
Couldn't tell you. Dover?
No.
No?
No, definitely not.
Who?
The Brickyard.
Bristol?
The Brickyard.
The Brickyard. Brickyard 400.
The Brickyard 400, when it was first started, right?
Paid $1 million, right?
It paid equal to the Daytona 500.
Did it? Yeah.
By under $10,000.
Does it still do that today?
It still does that today.
Yeah.
And it's still the second richest race. Now, the charter system has kind of messed with that a little bit, but it is still equal to, if you qualify for the Brickyard... It is still equal to your $250,000 that you get to start the Daytona 500.
Right.
So when you look at it, it's funny because, you know, we want to see incentives. You know, we want to see incentives to make it easier for guys to race, for people to race, guys and girls. But a model needs to be created that. You know, kind of across the board, it is easy to track and also easy to calculate of what the value is.
Remember back in the day, and not too long ago, NASCAR used to
publish
post mm-hmm. the finish, and right beside it was the dollar value that the team took home mm-hmm. from that race.
Yeah.
They no longer do that, haven't done that in quite a few years.
Yeah.
And
the reason for
always
that.
A question, how come the guy that finished 15th got paid more than the guy that finished 6th?
Yeah.
Because it used to happen every now and then.
It was contingency money, and then as well,
yeah.
They had TV money in there as well.
They took all that out now.
They took it all out.
So they took the emphasis of how much a race pays.
Yes.
When was the last time you heard... Man, this race is going to pay.
They don't
X
talk about that anymore.
They don't talk about that anymore.
But you know, when
they leave it out.
When you look at the grand scheme of things of why they don't show that anymore in the Cup Series, is because it's not only why did the guy in 15th make $15,000 more than the guy that finished second anymore. It's literally like the craziest thing is everybody is damn near equal. other than a small ranging scale for performance.
Yeah.
But everybody with a charter is crazy high compared to everybody with a non-charter. There's not a whole lot of data to fall back on here. But the system and how, you know, it all plays out is, you know, everybody is guaranteed an X amount based on the performance that they've had over the previous 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting when you look at one of the most valuable charters in the NASCAR Cup Series, was the 78, the Furniture Row car, right? When Furniture Row shut down, what happened? The 77 Spire Sports bought that 78 charter.
Yeah.
They have literally finished 8 laps down at damn near every race. They picked up a win last year,
right,
with the 77 and Justin Haley.
Rain shortened,
but they still picked up a win,
yep,
at Daytona.
Yeah.
But that charter is super high dollar.
Yeah.
And it's a very high dollar charter. So, but when you, it's so interesting, and I think that there needs to be more emphasis put on finding a tangible model that is, you know, that people can rely on and fall back on where the money is coming from and what they need to do to attain it.
Yeah.
I think that racing is built on that.
It is.
I want to pass you for $10,000. I want to pass you for $100. But I want to know that it's not only this race, it's next year's race and the year after that too.
Yeah. And there's got to be, right? Let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. We got off here a little bit. Coming up on the show, we have Chris Hughes, driver of a Pro Stock out in PEI. Chris Hughes has got that number 82 ready to
32.
Go. 82. 82. Okay. Well, 32. We're going to ask him about that. He is the number 32 when he's out in PEI, but when he's on the tour, the 32 was Sarah McKay's number, so he turned into the 82. Took me the longest time to call him the 82, and I know it's number 32.
He's number 32.
We're going to find out what number Chris is going to be this
year. I've got his hat. It's got a 32 on it.
I know. I got one, too. We'll also hear from, how about a two-time winner of the IWK 250. We have Kent Vincent going to join the show. We usually try and catch up with Kent this time of the year, find out how the plans are all coming. You know, he's been in this game 30 years. 30 years he's been in this game, hasn't missed a race. We're going to talk to him about that and more tonight. We'll also hear from Steve Trendle. He is one of those Canadian Vintage Modified champions. He is changing suits this year. He's going to go into the Oscar Modifieds, and we got Steve Trendle coming up on the show. We got lots coming at you over the next, say, hour and a half or so. But we're going to hit this break. And when we come back, we're going to grab that Chris Hughes. We're going to talk to him, find out how PEI is, find out how that car is coming along for 2020 in the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. And we're going to do that when we come back. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is James Hinchcliffe, and you are listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and We listen to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
I know it goes asphalt's racing on dirt for planting potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time
Radio. I want to talk about that comment right there by Kurt Cooker. Yep.
Go ahead.
So the other night,
yeah,
I played PS4, right? And there's Tony Stewart has got a new game on
yeah,
PS4.
That's right. Yep.
So Tony Stewart, it's called Tony Stewart's Sprint Car Racing
yep.
on PS4. So I've played all the NASCAR games and stuff like that. Of course, I've been ruined by iRacing. I love iRacing. I don't have it any longer, but I loved iRacing. iRacing is cool. It's simulation style. You can do setups. You can do whole piles of different things. You
yep.
can race on all different styles of tracks. So when I look at a racing game, you know, like NASCAR and those types of games, I'm kind of a snob when it comes time for it. So a couple of my buddies were like, let's download it. And I was like, nah, man, it's going to be arcadey. There's no way you can have fun driving a sprint car with a controller.
Right.
So they're like, just let's get it.
Give it a whirl.
I played it till 5 in the morning last night.
Yeah,
I played
no,
until
I heard
5
you.
O'clock
I heard
in the
you.
Morning. 5 o'clock in the morning I played this stupid game till.
Yeah.
Fun as hell.
Yeah.
It's absolutely cool. Everybody that's on there is like, it was cool. I was in a lobby last night. There was like 8 guys. And you know, we're all talking. One guy was a late model, like a dirt late model guy. One guy was a street stock dirt guy. One guy raced quarter midgets. You know, there was another guy that worked on cars.
Yeah.
And then one guy actually raced 360 sprints in Pennsylvania. Like, it's all racers that you're chatting with, you know? And so I'm the only asphalt guy in the room.
Right.
And I pulled that line out.
Did you?
I got kicked out of the lobby.
Ah, they kicked you out.
These dirt guys take it serious. You can't say that stuff.
Oh, I know.
So everybody that's listening, I'm extremely sorry about saying that so often.
But
the be-all, end-all is asphalt for racing on and dirt's for planting potatoes.
Oh, yeah. We always do that with tongue in cheek. That is Kurt Hooker, and anybody that knows.
I say it as a joke too.
In short track racing here in Ontario, definitely, if not across the country, Kurt Hooker was very famous for running dirt.
Yeah,
and he obviously ran asphalt as well in the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing down at New Smyrna for a lot of years.
Yep,
his son Jake now races, and he races dirt. They got a beautiful dirt car. We love dirt racing. I have another one with Adam West saying dirt is for racing, asphalt's to get you there.
Yeah, I know.
And I play that too. So
I say
a little
it,
bit from both sides.
I say
of the
it tongue in cheek as well, and I joke around with it
but
a
they
lot.
Booted you out.
But they booted me out. And you know,
they wouldn't let you back in.
No, they wouldn't let me back in. They wouldn't let me play in their sandbox.
No.
But you know, it's funny because I joke around about it. I have a respect for dirt racing.
So do I.
I have a huge respect for dirt racing. I don't understand it as well as what I do asphalt, and I think that's why I continually fall back into the asphalt hole.
Right.
You know, I absolutely love asphalt racing, And it's something that I understand. It's something that I can get behind. It's something that I get. You know? It feels like somebody who's never watched football before watching their first football game when I watch a dirt race. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where the move, where the slide job's going to come from. I don't know where the energy comes. Like, it's just, it's so foreign to me when I watch a sprint car race, when I watch a dirt late model race. I mean, it's cool, but I can usually see from a mile away when there's a guy with a fast car on asphalt.
Right.
I can pick him up if he's running 10th. And watch him drive to first, you know, and
you can see it coming.
Even if I don't know the guy, I don't know the person behind the wheel. I know what to look for. I know when there's a wreck going to happen. You know, you can see when two guys are like side by side.
Yeah.
And they're
two
squirrely.
Laps before it happens.
Yeah. You can see it kind of materializing.
Yeah.
So I do apologize for my ignorance to anybody that is a diehard dirt guy or diehard dirt person. I'm not up on dirt racing.
Well, when you go to asphalt tracks all the time,
yeah, that's always.
It's going to be a little difficult to.
Now
be
I get to spot for a
really
dirt race this year at Pinty's, and
yeah,
I probably
do.
Should shut up, otherwise I'm going to get fired from that particular gig. But no, it's going to be cool.
That's going to be wild seeing those Pinty's cars over on Us Weekend.
More than wild.
That is going to be nuts.
It's going to be absolutely wild, and. You know, it's going to be so interesting to see how everything plays out. And by the sounds of it, there's going to be like 25 cars show up already.
Maybe more.
Yeah,
maybe more.
Maybe more.
That would be cool.
One of the best paying Pinty's races of all time.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that in hour two. But what do you say we get to the hotline and welcome in
the 8232.
Our first guest of the night. He comes to us from Prince Edward Island. He drives the number 82 in the Pro Stock Tour. He's got number 32 Subaru on the door of his race car. Chris Hughes is with us now live. What's going on there, Chris? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic. I see a picture on your Twitter of a bare chassis, but it looks like things are starting to bolt back on that beautiful race car. How are things coming?
Yeah, we took a new CRF car home from Dean Clattenburg and that crew down there. And we're Corey and I've been at it. Jaden and the boys, we've been working out to put it together here. And it's a beautiful piece. Hopefully it goes half as good as it looks.
They don't go together quite like a puzzle, do they?
You guys know it's time-consuming and a lot of hard work. But we got good guys, and we're getting it together here.
Isn't it surprising putting a new car together? We just had a conversation in the shop the other night with Andrew Grizel. And it's funny because every car, you know, looks very similar out on the racetrack. You know, the bodies are all put together and they have the same rule book. You can't muck with them too much, but,
yeah.
But
it seems to be a lot though, doesn't it?
It seems to be like it, not one body goes together the same way.
Yeah, exactly. No, and there's some new stuff on this car for us too. So we're learning as we go here, and Dean Clattenburg down there has been a great help, and just couldn't ask for more out of those guys, and we're pretty excited to get together here and see how it goes.
You're hooked up with the right guy. Dino is good people and smart at it, too, right? Dino's been there, done that.
Been there, done that. Helped me back in, when we had our other handy car in, like, 2008, 2009, and we had some good help from him then, and had some good help last year from Andrew and the King Bunch, and if we could have, we probably would have went that way too, but they knew how tight finances are with our bunch, and it wasn't possible. We had more things that would carry over to the CRF stuff, and if we had went the other way to maybe Fury, then we would have we'd be all into brand new stuff, and we just don't have that kind of budget.
I just want to tell you, Chris, I guess it was not yesterday, it was Thursday. I drove to the store, or was it Wednesday? It was Wednesday. I drove to the store. I wore a Ford T-shirt that with an LFR logo on it. I wore a Subaru hat with the number 32 on it, and I drove a Chevrolet Malibu to the store. I was very conflicted that day, but I just wanted to say thank you because I haven't talked to you since. But you sent us a couple hats, and I wear it all the time. Just so you know,
not a problem. Guys. We appreciate you coming. It may or may not be a Subaru this year, so keep your eye open for that. We may have an announcement. We may be changing brands there, but we'll we'll see what the spring brings.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what this part of the season is all about, right? Lining up the support that puts a year together. Do you know at this point, Chris, whether you're going to be going full tilt in the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, or are you going to pick and choose? What's the plan?
Look, guys, it's just Cormac, Neil, and myself. We own the steel, and it's just two working guys. And last year we were really lucky and grateful to have enough sponsorship help to get us there. So this is not it'd be interesting for people to know this isn't a team that has, you know, big backing or has a business behind us. This is just two guys working, and we run this thing completely off sponsorship and purse and a little bit that we can put in each. So whether or not it'll be full time or not, I don't know. We have gonna use up your time here, but we have Holy Cow, the Burgers and Wings place in Morrell. They jumped up this year. They're gonna take over the quarter panels on our car. We just made a deal with Charlestown Wine Kits here. And they've come on in a big way. Oyster Bed Esso's back. So we're just waiting to confirm to three or four more, and then we'll try to put some sort of schedule together.
No, and that's the way to do it, Chris. You're doing it right. You can't go broke in this game. And you guys run competitive, so I guess a lot of it, too, is based off results, right? You go out, you have a good run, you get the little extra dough, and you can make another race.
Oh, absolutely. That's how our season went last year. I mean, we went to Petty with not really any expectations at the opener. Ended up with a seventh there and a seventh at Scotia the next week. We're sitting third in points. So, I mean, we kind of make the decision to keep going. And then we had two or three bad weeks, and we're kind of done. And actually, Holy Cow and a couple of other sponsors said, no, you got to go to 250 in Antigonish. And they helped us get together there and ended up finishing out on the podium at Scotia Speedway there.
Yeah, awesome to watch you run, I can tell you that. Got to ask you, though, brother. Tim Terry is constantly on me, you can't blame him. On the scoring pylon, it's got you as the 82, and I'm looking at the door. I got your hat on my head, and I got a 32 on it, and I know that's Sarah McKay in the Pro Stock Tour. What do you think? Is there ever a day that we're going to see an 82 on the car?
No. I think that's a rule from 1965 or something when they put that in.
Yep.
Now we have transponders. Absolutely no reason for that. Like, we've offered to do everything. We've been offered to be 132, 32 C or H. So
yeah,
it carries 32. It'll remain 32.
And that is your number, so you're going to keep it, right?
Absolutely. It's my dad's number before me, and that's the number that'll be on the car.
Okay. Cool. From now on, you trust me when I say, and then anybody that goes to correct me, I'm going to tell them to jump off the bridge. I'm going to call you the number 32 from now on, Chris.
Whatever they have to do to score it is fine, but it's the 32 carried us, and to all our fans and supporters, they know that number, they know the history, and that's going to be our number.
Cool. It took me forever, I can tell you that, but it's been exciting watching you over the years that you've jumped back into the tour. Did you get wins prior to coming back? Were you a winner in the Pro Stock Tour before?
And when you ask me about building a new car at this stage, the reason to build this car is to win. I've done everything but back when we raced before, and then now with Corey, too. Him and I have been on the podium and had lots of heat wins and stuff, but I don't have a feature win, and that's why we're trying to build this new car. We think it's our best shot.
Absolutely.
And that's a good way to do it, right?
100%. You know,
we're going after it, and that's what we're doing. Whether we only race four times, it'll be an all-out effort to try to win one of those four races or whatever we end up doing.
100%. Looking at the overall grand scheme of things, putting together a new car, you mentioned, you know, a couple new things towards the team the learning curve. It used to be when you would buy a new car, there would be a couple of things that were different, maybe setup related, a couple pickup points, a couple measurements were different. Now, today, it seems like everything is evolving so quickly. What's the homework? What's the curve like on the education side as everything comes together and you know, kind of laying out into the rest of the season? What's the learning curve looking like for you and your team with a new piece? Obviously, you got some good guys in your corner with Dean. But what's the learning curve like on setup differences and things like that?
Well, I don't know if you know or not, but in like 2008 and 2009, Dean was at Hamke, and that's where I really had a lot of my better runs is in Hampshire stuff, and I really like the feel of it. So in 17, I think it was, when we clipped our car with a clip from King Racing, we put a new Hampshire clip on it. And then going to CRF, we thought there'd be similarities, and there is quite a few, and we could use quite a bit of our old stuff, but seeing this car and some of the advancements they've made, there's quite a bit of new stuff on it, and as far as the learning curve, I think it'll be, I have great faith, the suspension will be right, it'll be, you have your bumps and your travels and all this stuff to learn new on a new chassis and new measurements, but I'm hoping we'll get it pretty close right off the bat, but it could be a week or two before we get it tuned in.
We're with Chris Hughes tonight. He's out in PEI. He is a driver in the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, the Parts for Trucks Tour, out there on Canada's East Coast, out in the Maritimes, travels to all the different racetracks in the Maritimes, and Chris drives the number 32. And Chris, is that car going to look the same? Are you going to stay with the same look for 2020, or are you going to change it up again?
I think you're going to see a different look in 2020. I think we're going to have a little different look. We'll probably leave most of it up to sponsors and to Mike Alexander there, who does their awesome job on our vinyl, and we'll get it base colored, and then we'll let them guys go to town.
So pretty safe to say you'll be at the Oyster Bed Speedway races right in your backyard. What other races will you or can you say, I'm going to be at these ones, don't know about these other ones, but these ones I know for sure I'm going to be at?
And it's hard to say. We were talking about that yesterday and talking about the opener, and there's still so much stuff up in the air with backing and different things like that. But if you don't go to the opener, you kind of put yourself behind the eight ball tire-wise for the rest of the season, for the races you do want to do. But, we're kind of looking at that petty race, of course, but that'll be a big car count race. We'll just see how it plays out. We're definitely going to try to hit the two island ones. I'd love to do the IWK again, but... and the Cat 250 and the 200 at Scotia. We had some really, I thought we made a lot of gains the last day at Scotia.
You did. You made tons of gain. That's what I mean. Like, there's some of these races, Chris, that you've got to hit.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Scotia deal at the end of the year, we probably didn't have a third-place car in the second half, but we had some good luck and good management, I guess. But in the first half, we were super happy with the car. We thought we had a second or a third place legitimate car on old tires the first half. We weren't quite as good in the second half, but still had a lot of fun.
Put it into words for the audience that maybe isn't a racer, but more of a race fan. Put it into words what it would mean to go out and win a pro stock race for Chris Hughes.
I don't know. It would mean a lot to my guys, obviously, and to Corey, my partner in the car. It'd mean a lot to them, and to me personally as a driver, I just think it would put kind of a period or maybe just a relief on what I've done as a driver. I hadn't won a championship. In fact, the late model there in 16 won a championship and won a lot of features, and I've got enough podiums, and Jonathan Hick and I were having a great laugh over my second and third place trophies, but we need that one left in the collection that we don't have.
Yeah, and you know what? You're going to have to go through guys like Hicken. There's so many in the Pro Stock Tour, but Chris Hughes, I know you got the talent to get to race with those guys and to pass them. It's going to be interesting. New piece for 2020. You'll do us a favor and keep us up to date on the progress of that baby, will you?
Absolutely. We'll give you all the info we can on our new CRF ride. We're happy to be a part of the team.
You betcha, bud. This has been great catching up with you tonight. What's the weather like out there? Are you getting? Is there any kind of spring conditions yet?
I'd say it's been snowing since about 6 a.m. They're tired of it.
Yeah. Well, we went through that for a couple of days this past week, but when we look at the long-range forecast, we got spring coming, man. It's looking good.
Don't jinx
I'm
it.
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Yeah,
he's
no
gonna
kidding.
Jinx it on us if you keep talking about it.
Yeah. Chris, this has been great, buddy. You have a good one. Get that car screwed together, and we're going to be in for a dynamite 2020.
Use nuts and bolts, though. Don't screw it together. Don't. Use nuts and bolts.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
That's Chris Hughes. You're going to be able to catch him at the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. He's going to be out there. Don't know how many races yet, but you never know. Chris has got the potential of not only going out there and winning some races, but I'll tell you what, Junior, if he can put it together, he's got a shot at the championship.
Yeah, for sure. He's a very consistent guy. Definitely, you can hear the fire. You know, he's got a fire in his belly. He wants to go get it, and you know, it's interesting. Last year at this point, we were talking about all the new iron in the Pro Stock Tour. First guy that we've had on the show that has got brand new iron for 2020 from the Pro Stock side.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, like,
we talked
to Jared, we talked to Cole. Who else did we talk to? Really, the first guy to announce that he's got some new iron.
Well,
that's
all
being put together.
Guys that bought new iron last year, and there was like 3/4 of the field.
Yeah, it was brand.
Bought brand new cars. Yeah. You don't have to run like what do we got? 11 races on the schedule.
Yeah,
you can't replace them every 11 races, can you?
Yeah, you can. But
I guess
that being said, you don't want to. If it's working, it's working. But it will be interesting. I think that this year, the numbers for the Pro Stock Tour of brand new pieces, I think, are bound to be down, because last year was a crazy year. There was way too much new equipment out there. But I think that what we've seen last year on the new equipment side in the Maritimes, I think you're going to hear that from this year in the APC Tour.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
There's a tremendous amount of new equipment being put together for the APC Tour.
Well, I'll tell you what, you keep it glued to Race Time Radio if you want to know. We will be talking to a ton of guys in between now and that first green flag in both those series. We're going to find out from a lot of them. And even after the break here, we're going to be hearing from Kent Vincent, a 2-time winner of the IWK 250. He was one of those guys, Junior, last year that went through his new car, went through that one and the backup car.
Yeah, not a good season.
He had a terrible year last year.
And no, Gary Elliott, you cannot class that as a new car. It's a used car. No matter how you say it, it's a used car, even though it's put together with new pieces.
I guarantee you it'll be like a brand new piece.
I know. I'm just kidding.
It'll be good. We're going to hit this break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I'm John Roberts. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam. Oh, oh. Safer Baron. He clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Yes, it was sliding into it. Out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up, or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167. Race Time Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chizik.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass, there's a real blade of grass.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, right here, live in the Racetime Radio studio and on Sirius XM Channel 167. Hello to absolutely everyone here tonight. Maybe you're tuned in throughout the course of the week on the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com. Thanks for doing that. Airing Racetime Radio like two or three times throughout the course of the week. Or maybe, just maybe, you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, the hometown of Riverside International Speedway. We'll see you for the IWK 250. And welcome to you. Or Gearhead Country Radio. Or maybe you've tuned in on demand, because you can do that as well, on racetimeradio.com, or get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe the next time you're at iTunes there, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again, because you'll be subscribed to it. You'll automatically get it as soon as we post it, which is normally as soon as the show is over. Susie Q gets to work and gets that magic dialed in. But we got still lots to come at you tonight. We got Kent Vincent going to come up here in just a few minutes. Kent, the number 8 in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Kent is a two-time winner of the IWK 250. We're going to catch up with Kent. He's got a long history in this sport, and he's one of those crafty veterans that we love checking in with. We'll find out from Kent how things are coming with that number 8. As mentioned just before the break, he is one of those cars that was brand new last year, brand new piece, and didn't quite work out so well. It was incredibly fast, don't get me wrong. He just ran into some terrible luck, not with just one car, but two of them. He was on his third ride by the end of the season. So hopefully all that bad luck is out the rear window, and you watch for Kent Vincent to be incredibly strong come 2020. I want to remind you, next week, here on Racetime Radio, we are going to be preempted on SiriusXM Channel 167 here. We're going to be preempted. We've got Raptors ball game coming up. And Racetime Radio is going to be taken down so that the Raptors game can go up. So, Junior, you and I are going to have a holiday next Sunday here on Racetime Radio. We'll take a 1 week off, and then we will be back with you on March the 15th, and from there, all the way through the season. So that's what's going to take place. Next week, enjoy the Raptors game right here on SiriusXM Channel 167, and Racetime Radio will be back with you on March the 15th.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right, so what are we going to do next Sunday night?
Next Sunday.
Want to talk about racing?
Probably. Yeah, well, probably.
We'll just talk about racing.
I wouldn't doubt it. We'll have lots to talk about, I can guarantee
we can,
you.
We can record it.
In 2 weeks from now.
Record it on our cell phones.
Yeah,
something.
On your cell phone.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
We still have lots coming at you tonight. We also have Steve Trendle that is going to go with the Oscar Modifieds this year.
That's going to be a mouthful.
Yeah.
You know, it's different.
Oh, it's going to be.
He's the vintage modified guy. He has been forever.
And a champion.
And a champion in it. And, you know, it's going to be.
He's only got two open wheels, though.
It's a new challenge.
He won't have four open wheels, will he? Don't they have fenders on the rears? No, they don't. You're right.
No.
No.
I think that the car that he got, which was the Strawn car, the 77. We'll have to ask
some of them.
I think the 77 has got the fender that runs all the way down the side of the car. I don't know. I don't know if he's got four open wheels or if he's only got three. He might only have three open wheels.
Steve Trendle will be coming up on this show in hour number two.
Ask him how many open wheels he's got.
We are getting dangerously close here to throwing it back to Toronto. Got a news highlight package that's going to run. Takes 90 seconds. Going to get you up to date on absolutely everything if you happen to have missed anything in the last hour. I know Scotty and everybody in Toronto will get you up to date. And then Junior and I will be back for hour number two tonight.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes here on Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight, right here on Sirius XM Channel 167 and RacetimeRadio.com. Hello to absolutely all of you out there. Coming up, Kent Benson, the number eight in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, is going to be coming up in mere seconds. But
Trevor Lamb, his spotter. He's of course spotter. Listening,
and his business guy.
He's a business guy. Yeah.
Yep.
He's having a Lone Oak Brew.
Is he?
Yeah.
A Lone Oak Brew.
So,
where do you get that?
You get to have a beer, and we have to work.
Yeah.
I feel like a clown.
Well, you know what? Well, he was down at Daytona.
Yeah.
We were watching.
He was also having beer down there.
He was too. Now that you say it, there's a little bit of a trend happening.
There's a little
bit
of a trend there, Trev.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good, my friend.
Let's welcome in, shall we? Driver of the number eight in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. This guy has got two IWK 250 wins to his credit, and he's getting ready to go and reloaded for 2020. Let's welcome in Kent Vinson from PEI. What's going on there, Kent? How you doing?
Hey, how are you doing tonight, Joe? Very good. Like Chris had mentioned, it was snowing here all day. Great shop day, and just come in and join a Lone Oak Brew and some great PEI potatoes for supper. The wife cooked up. It's all good.
You lucky dog, you, out there in PEI. Those spuds sitting right there. You get them, you just go out in the backyard and hoof them out.
Yeah, no problem. We can get we have the best potatoes here in the world right here. And no problem getting easy to get them anywhere.
They're all new potatoes out there, though.
All
right?
Brand new.
They're all new potatoes.
All like, brand new.
Like
yeah,
here, it's like brand. A big thing they're when it's in the grocery store. It's like new potatoes.
Well,
it's
you
like
know
a
why?
Big thing.
You know why? PEI sends us all their day olds.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of throwing you under the bus here. Send us some good ones. You know?
No. You got to get here and get the good ones. They're all good. They're 100% fresh.
It's that red dirt. That's what it
the
is.
Red dirt, yeah.
Yeah. Incredible.
Kent, poking around, you know, we just got talking to Chris, talking about new iron. What do you got on the docket for 2020? What's sitting in the shop? Is it a brand new piece again? What's the plan?
Well, after the year we had last year, we used a lot of resources up and very fortunate to have some great backing with Donnie Garnier and Direct Tire. He stepped up big last year when we ran in hard times. Like I say, we've wrecked the brand new Port City car. We pulled my backup out, we heard it in Petty, and we ended up buying a new piece to start for the IWK 250. New to us, I should say. Anyway, so what we ended up doing this year is we dug out my old piece, took it to Mike McKenzie's with the support with Gary Crooks in Port City. New front clip on him, new rear updates on him and stuff like that. But the unfortunate part about that is, I guess, we didn't have the car home 2 days, and the Pro Stock Tour came out with their updated rule package, and apparently there's some of the stuff that they didn't like that Port City came out with. The guys, the crew that the Pro Stock Tour come up with to come up with these rules, unfortunately, don't run what Port City and Gary and them guys have been running, and they outlawed it, so now we had to do a bunch of changes on that. But anyway, that's for another conversation down the road. But anyway, that's what we got. We got a fresh Port City clip here done up by Mike McKenzie with some updates on it, and we're working diligently at it to get to looking forward to it, to get it to work good.
definitely part of the game, right? It's and kind of the reason why everybody is always pushing for early release of not only the schedule but of the rule book as well, right? It's all time frame to get stuff. It's if we all had a nickel for every time we heard that you needed to make changes before the start of the season, it's the ugly side of the game, right? It's never fun when that happens, for sure. Looking at 2020, obviously last year, we haven't talked to you, since the ugly aftermath of what 2019 was. Take us through what it's like to have a season that is that painful and that struggle filled. Take us through what it's like to go through that and kind of what it does to your team on the fire side, because now you guys have got a fire in your belly to go out there and have a good year.
Well, like you mentioned team there and backing and support. Couldn't have done it without the support, without Trevor and without Donnie and without the team. We would have been down and out. Like we went for years and never, ripped off a fender or picked up a door bar or whatever. Last year was just one of those years we couldn't do anything right. And, like I say, I heard you talking about it earlier there about sponsors and whatnot. Without them guys, it couldn't happen. And Donnie Garnier from, Direct Tire and TireTire.ca stepped up big time, helped me out, made sure we made it through the rest of the season real good. Along with the crew, took days off work and did everything they could to get us there so we wouldn't miss a race. Well, I got nobody to thank but them and my own family, my wife Kim, and put up with me for, you don't waste a week of vacation to go out in the garage. They want you with them and do something fun, and they put up with that for me to get through the year. So, like I say, it was just one of those years I want to forget 2019, want to move on to 2020, and looking for bigger and better things right now.
Yeah, that's the nice part about a new season, right, Kent? You can put that in the rearview mirror and look out the windshield and get after it. The tour itself celebrating 20 years this year. You've been with them every single year, man. You're number one. You were Rookie of the Year. Is there anybody else that you can think of that has ran all of the tour races like you have?
Not right off the top of my head, Joe, and I'm sure there is. Seen a lot of changes through the tour. I mean, when I got into the tour back in 2000, it was on the down low. Tough times, rules wise, and whatever, money wise, and stuff like that. And I know Ernie Ledwig's picked it up and got it peaking. Now it's kind of on the downswing again. Here, there's I don't know, just after what happened here in the last month or so over the rule changes. Guys making rules that don't have too much skin in the game just kind of blow some of us out of the water as far as what's going on here. But anyway, hopefully we can get some leadership changes here and get the ship righted here.
Yeah, get things fired off the way that normally you hear from, some of the new guys that are coming into the series that want all of these different things. Very rarely do you hear from a veteran in the sport saying, hey, how come I'm not allowed this? So it must be something that's kind of out of whack.
Well, it wasn't that it wasn't allowed. It's been in our series for a few years. And anyway, they got a group of guys together that made a bunch of rules that their cars, their chassis don't have this particular setup on it. There's nobody invited in the interested parties that have this stuff in the cars, and all of a sudden now it's not allowed. Anyway, like you say, Kim, that's for a different conversation down the road.
Yeah, and we'll do that one night. Kent, I wouldn't mind doing that at all, because I'll tell you what, the strength and the history of the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, that's how it got to where it is today, is with everybody's support. And can't say that the road has been perfectly flat without some bumps in it. Every tour or anything that's worth its salt has, you know, had difficulties, but it always seems to overcome it and continue on and actually flourish. And that's what I'm really hoping happens to the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we got a great. There's great kids coming up through Bandoleros and Legends and stuff like that. I mean, this is things are happening here. We got it. There's some good young guys coming up, looking to the race in the Pro Stock Tour, looking to advance from where they're at, and we just want to make sure that they come into something good. We want to build something that's very strong, very. They got something to race for and whatnot. Like I say, it was down in it when I first started, and it's kind of petered off a little bit. We got some great guys, got some great talent. There's a lot of good drivers in our division right now. You know, in the old, you just talked to one there, Chris Hughes from BDI, Darren McKinnon, Jonathan Hicken. There's some good guys. We want to place a race. To show off our talent. We want a place to go.
Absolutely. And you guys will have, I can guarantee you that. Looks like a great schedule again this year. Some curveballs thrown in there. How about a 200 to wrap up Riverside? That's going to be something different, right? We're used to doing a 150 there to finish the season. Go to a 200. It's going to change the game and the thought going into that race, isn't it?
And the triple 50s are gone.
yeah, that was different. That was kind of a neat deal. I mean, give credit to Donald and everybody at Riverside. I mean, that's the 50s here and stuff. That was neat. Just wish we would have done it better. First, the 200 lap stuff goes. I think they're probably stretching that out a little bit too much to start a race off at Petty with 200 laps. With, like you say, a lot of new cars and a lot of new guys there. I don't think we need to start it off with the 200. A 150 or 125 would have been decent enough to kind of get broken in a little bit. But anyway, that's good. Looking forward to it. And anyway, like I say, we'll work with the schedule how it goes. Great to have two races here on PEI again, the two long weekends. Like I say, it's always great to have as many races as you can in your backyard for sure.
Yeah, and you're really strong out there. I know everybody from PEI, man, when the race goes into Oysterbed, you guys seem to find another gear. Everybody wants to win. Robbie McEwen, what a Cinderella story that was last year. I wish I was there to see that. I should have been, but the way things unfolded, I wasn't able to be there. But that was quite a night, I can remember. Listening to it, it sounded like it was straight off the chip.
That was cool. Robbie's a good guy. They got a great team. They got a great bunch of guys there. Looks good on him. They work hard for, we all work hard. They work hard to get where they're at. And, Robbie's a great driver and he had us all covered that night real good.
So, how about sponsorship wise on the 8? How are things looking there, Kent? You got things, is Trevor doing his job or do you got to get the whip out?
And you're not allowed to talk about Lone Oak Brew because I want to try it before you talk about it. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to talk about it because this weekend we just kind of sealed the deal on a couple of real good sponsors, local guys, Lone Oak Breweries. They just started in Borden. As soon as you get off the bridge, pull into Gateway Village, stop in and pack up your cooler full of beer for the races. Go see Jarrett and the boys there. They'll fix you up with Lone Oak Breweries. We had they started up a few months ago. Looking forward to working with them for the next couple of years. And it's great. Along with that, we just sealed the deal with Soretti's Groceries. Half a mile down the road, have to get your beer, stop in, get some gas, get all your treats and munchies and stuff like that for the race, and you're good to go after that.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds like the Victory Lane celebration is going to be banging in the Vincent camp.
Yeah, we're going to, I tell you what, if we win at PEI, it's going to happen, I tell you that.
A three-time winner of the IWK 250, wouldn't that be something?
That'd be something. Yeah, 2010, 2015, 2020. We're looking forward to it, actually.
There you go. So tell me something, Kent. Do you put more emphasis into that IWK 250 than you do the other races, or are they all pretty well equal for attention and focus and drive to win?
Heard you guys talking earlier about the Daytona 500. I mean, this is our day to Daytona 500. Donald and them guys put a great show on for the at Riverside, and that's our big race. I mean, who are we kidding here? Everybody wants to win that, right? So, absolutely, we want to go for three.
Absolutely.
Now, you've been up to the Canadian Short Track Nationals. You did that in year number one. Do you think you've got a return trip in you for that race?
We're looking into it. Yes, absolutely. It's on the bucket list for this year, depending on funding and whatnot, but there's some big names there, and that'd be great just to race beside some of them guys for sure.
Well, you'd fit right in with them, I can tell you that, Kent. I love watching you on that racetrack. I know you got a pile of race fans in the Maritimes, and a lot of fans listen in to the broadcasts, and you're one of those distinctive names. That number 8 is one that can ring the bell whenever you show up at a track. Which one do you got circled on the calendar this year for maybe that first win? What track are you itching to get back to?
I like to win at home. I mean, there's nothing better than winning at home track. With so many Island drivers here, we all want to win at home. So to get a win at home and of course, the IWK 250, they haven't got a CAT 250 or the Tormont 250, so it'd be great to do that as well. So anyway, I got them all circled. I want to win whatever I can.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You got to circle them all, right? It's easy. Yep. It's easier to erase the circle than it is to draw it in after. That's the way that it works out. I mean, looking at the overall season, the nice part about it is it can't get worse than last year. It's going to be all in the up and up. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I know talking to Trev there, he's fired up, man. He's working on word association already. He's going to be saying clear faster than he's ever said it before.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we say, we after last year, we're glad it's over. And I can't thank the guys enough, my crew, my sponsors, to get us through it all. And then, like this spring or this early this summer or early this winter, I guess you should say, we kind of all said, "Hey, listen, what do we want to do here? Where are we going to be?" So we took one of the old cars that I got hurt. We hurt it back in Teddy. Let's talk to Gary Crooks and see what he can do for us. Of course, logistics is—it's hard to get a car down in North Carolina. So he said, "Hey, listen, why don't we go see Mike McKenzie, get a Port City clip on him, get all the pickup points, put it on the back of the car, and let's go from there." So I'm excited. I know Mike McKenzie's excited about it to get us going well. And like I say, we're all working hard at it and do the best we can.
Well, you got the right guys in your corner. How about the immediate crew at the track, in the shop? Have you added any new guys to the mix, or have you got the same core guys and away you go?
I got a great bunch of guys, don't get me wrong. I mean, John Mark's been with me since I started back in 1990. He's still there. And, of course, my wife, Kim, who shrugs me off maybe every now and again, but supports me 100% in all we do. We got Trevor and Donnie now that started back me here in the last couple of years. It's great. We got Jason Colson, Jansen Glant, Cameron Glant. Probably forgetting somebody, but anyway, it's all good. We have a great bunch of guys. We all want to go have some fun. We want to win, and we want to get into the Old Oak beer here. Bone Oak beer, so it's all good.
They got a beer called the Silver Fox. You can stop dyeing your hair now, Kent.
He doesn't dye his hair.
Hey, look,
I know.
I don't need to. But I tell you what, I had some Silver Fox last night, and it's very good.
Yeah, it looks like
it. You know, it's good stuff. So stop in and get a growler full.
Now, how about the car? What color is it going to be? You've been famous for the black car, and you've had the white car. What's it going to be this year? Are you going to keep us in suspense or what?
No, we're going to go black, and we'll get Mr. Alexander to fix the car up for us. He actually helped us out here last year, stopped in, deckled the car, put it on, all for nothing. And anyway, we're going to stick with him, and he'll get it fixed up for us for sure.
Gotta love it. It's going to have suds flowing down the side of it or something. I can guarantee you're going to have some kind of a hook to it, Kent.
No, it's going to be pretty basic. We'll keep it clean, and we're going to go with that. We're going to go with less to fix maybe this year, and we won't have to worry about it so much.
Well, you're not going to have to worry about it at all, my friend. You got to have pages like that in your career, in your book. You've had them now, man. All the bad luck is, like I say, out back. You got clear sailing coming up. It's going to be a dynamite 2020, Kent Vinson. And I know fans can stay up with you. You're on Twitter. You got Facebook. You got all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, Trevor's the guy for that. He keeps us all the fans up to date and all that stuff. I'll concentrate on working on the car and get to the racetrack, and he'd take care of that stuff, which is great. I mean, this is the time we're in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have it. Good to know you've got somebody in your corner taking care of it. Bud, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know I look forward to this snow getting out of here and for all of us to get back on that racetrack. First time I'm going to see you is at Scotia Speed World for the season opener there, but you'll be opening up at Petty before then. Good luck in race number one, and I know I look forward to catching up with you in race number two.
Well, appreciate the time, guys. Thanks very much.
You want to believe it. That's Kent Vincent out in PEI. He's getting that number eight ready to go. It's going to be interesting. He's got, you might as well say it's a brand new car other than the center section. It sounds like they've done work to the front, to the back. And knowing these guys, Junior, they've got a piece.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
going to be good.
Yep, for
and
sure.
You know the competition is right there. When nobody's happy with the rules, that's when you got it right.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's a lot of different things coming down the pipeline. It's a really interesting dynamic in pro late model and super late model racing today. There's so many variations. Everybody's trying to maximize grip, right? You know,
you were talking about it earlier today.
Absolutely, yeah.
On
no,
a way
for sure.
to maximize grip.
I sent out a tweet today that, you know, it's just a different way of approaching bump stops.
And
on
maybe
the rear.
It'll work, and maybe it won't.
No, but that's the craziest part about late model racing today is that, and you know, it's in every shop. It used to have two trailing arms. You'd have a left rear and you'd have a right rear trailing arm.
Yep.
And then you'd have an upper link. And you know, it was kind of like third world to have a four link out there, you
right.
know, and you know, there was only a few super late models out there that had them. And then you started getting into a rubber biscuit, and they realized that it worked in some places and it didn't work in others. And now
then
you're getting
a spring loaded one.
Now, yeah, exactly.
Remember the spring loaded one. Now, the coil over eliminators were a big thing back in the
exactly.
day.
Exactly. So then you started getting into running a shock in the upper link and controlling the rebound and the compression of the upper link. You know, it's
got to stop somewhere.
It used to have a track bar that just simply went side to side, right? And it went up and down on,
had to
on
be
either
solid.
Side. And it went up and down on either side. You know, everybody's trying to maximize grip. And when you look at some of the things that are coming out, the trailing arms, there's so many different variations, and they're like a J-hook.
Yeah,
and
the big J-hook ones.
They come around the and they hook to the backside of the rear end. So they control the torque getting to the ground in a different manner. And you're also getting into different leveling blocks of you know, of your actual track bar. So there's so many different combinations. And every one thing on a race car translates to something else. So if you make a change to the left front, it changes the right rear, you
yep.
know, and
yep.
and it's part of the sport. But it seems like, you know, the front end geometry has been so maximized over the last 10 years. You know, the front end geometry, they've got it basically down to a science. And they change. They change pickup points, and they change ball joints, and they change spindles. You know, and they're all working within the same realm, within the braking system, within the front suspension. The rear suspension right now is the Wild West.
Yeah.
I know teams that spent over $5,000 last year on different setups to do with rear suspension on a late model style car.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at you know, what he was talking about, you know, with the Pro Stock Tour outlawing something, and he didn't touch on what it was. He didn't talk about what it was, and I don't want to speculate. But when you look at all the different variations out there, it's good for me to hear a sanctioning body stepping in. Now, obviously, the way that it shook out is a really tough deal because he'd already invested in getting that part.
Yes.
So as much as I say good job to the Pro Stock Tour, I say that schedule or that – not the schedule, that rule book should have been out prior to that so you wouldn't have to worry about that. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of a twofer thing.
Well,
but you also shouldn't invest in something that –
But
you know,
by the sounds of it, this is stuff that was allowed.
Something that was allowed last year.
That's right.
So if it was allowed last year and you're making it an outlawed thing, I say that it can't be an outlawed thing until the last race of the year. Otherwise, you're going to spend crazy amounts of money. Now, that being said, there's so many different angles that they could take. By outlawing it, it's, I mean...
That's why we're on the radio and they make the rules.
Exactly. And you know, it becomes a very difficult situation. The thing that I want to drive home is that all series need to get this under control, and there are ways to do it. There's a tremendous amount of cheaper ways for late model racers to get through the corner, and they do not need to be spending crazy amounts of money on different setups.
Do you know what I like? Do you know what I really genuinely like?
What?
Kent Vincent just said tonight, that this took place and they outlawed this. And, you know, it's a different discussion for another day, but what he has concentrated on is to get it fixed so that it does fit, and
absolutely,
he's going to go racing.
Yep.
He's not the kind of guy to say, oh, this is stupid, I'm not going to race, I'm not going to do this, and pout.
Exactly.
He's the kind of guy that says, damn, I wish you didn't do it this way, but now that you have, now I got to spend some money, but... That's telling you a lot about the guys in that series, right?
Absolutely.
They are spending the money. They're going to make sure the car is right because they all want to compete in it.
Yes.
It is the biggest, best thing that's out there. And there's one common thread that runs through every one of them. They all want it to go, and they want it to be huge.
Yep.
And they need everybody there.
Yeah.
In order to do it.
Absolutely.
And fans don't care what the rule book says.
No.
They also are interested in as a competition on that racetrack.
Yep.
And they
really
get it every time.
The root of what we're talking about is the cost of grinders
and grinder
discs and some welding
and time. More time.
And you know, when you look at the rule books out there, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus by what I'm saying with that at all.
No.
And you know, it is what it is. And it's part of super late model racing. It's part of crate late model racing. It's part of all forms of racing. You know, it's so crucial to have the sanctioning body have their finger on the box, on the pulse, to understand what every step and what every outlaw, what every allowance allows, and go from there. And, you know, create a level playing field, which nobody can argue the level playing field that the Pro Stock Tour offers. It is a very
amazing
level playing field.
It is.
And they're doing what they can. And I think at race number one, if Kent Vincent goes out there and wins, there's going to be a whole lot of beer flying. and if he doesn't go out and win, there's probably still going to be a whole lot of beer flying by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you want to believe
it. It's a good
deal. We're going to hit a break when we come back. We're going to switch it up, talk some Oscar Modifieds with a guy that is a champion in a vintage modified. Change in color, change in suit. We got Steve Trendle coming up on the other side of the break.
Hey, race fans, Tim Colton, the driver of the number 3 Monte Carlo. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. Oh.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in a guy that is a Canadian vintage modified champion. He's had enough of that now. He's going to switch it up. He's going to go Oscar modified. And he's on the hotline with us right now. We got Steve Trendle. What's going on there, Steven? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, guys. I just woke up from a nap, getting ready to go into work for night shift.
Fun.
That a boy. Now, you got to go earn some dough to play, right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, first question here, we were talking about it, and you're going from four open wheels, but how many open wheels does your car have?
It'd be three.
Yeah, no, that's what I was. Yeah, yeah. The right side is flat, right? And then,
yeah.
So your left rear is kind of exposed.
The left rear will be tucked into the body.
The coolest part about, the Oscar modified series is there aren't a whole lot of cars that look even close to each other. There's some variation there. You could be creative. And you know, the car that you purchased over the off season, the Stranz number 77,
that's a
beautiful race car. You got to be bouncing off the chip, man. It's you're jumping into to a different pond, and you're no longer the big fish, even though you're a big galoot.
Yeah, my dad started in the vintage mods in '96, and I took over in 02, so I did it for 17 years. I raced them. It just came down to we needed to do a change. Like, it was just time for a change. We'd run our course, and we weren't sure if we were going to go legend car racing, pro challenge racing, and then the Strons told us about this car, and as soon as we went to Brad Stevenson's place and looked at it, my dad said, we got to sell our car right now and buy this thing.
Yeah, I guess. That is a beautiful piece. So the next question I know I had for you was, did you sell the 57 Canadian Vintage Modified, or are you going to do that too?
We did sell it. We sold it to a gentleman that raced Pro Challenge cars. We weren't sure what his intentions were, but he ended up reselling it again to another gentleman who's going to race it. He offered it to me for a couple times for 2020, but I'm not sure what I want to do, if I'm going to race it or not. I might do that 1,000 to win race. That'd be nice, some nice pocket change.
Yeah,
we're our game plan right now, we're only going to race it maybe 4 or 5 times. We're definitely going to do the 2 Jukases. They were the first 2 races that we were going to do no matter what. Just we wanted to race there and race in front of the great crowd that's going to be there with the Pinty Series and the ISMA Supers. And then Delaware. I love Delaware Speedway. Most people hate it. It feels like a motocross track instead of a racetrack, but I just love going around that place.
And you got to come to the beach, right? We got two modified races.
Yeah, my dad's got a cottage up there, so I'm trying to talk him into going up there at least once, but he pays the bills on that thing, so he dictates where it runs.
Well, listen, you get to bed early or do whatever. You get to work, because we want to see you at the beach in that thing.
Yeah, we hope so. Once again, we would love to run a full season, but it all depends on sponsorships. Right now, it's just my dad, and I kick in whatever snow shoveling money I get from my wife's grandmother whenever it snows around here. So if anybody's looking to sponsor on a beautiful car in front of a class that gets a lot of exposure, you can contact me through Facebook at Trendle Racing. And heck, we take anything from tire sponsors, rim sponsors, whatever you want to do.
Awesome stuff, Steve. What's the car number going to be? Are you going to be able to carry the 57 with you?
We actually are moving on from the 57. My dad hasn't allowed me to say what number it's going to be, but it's going to be a throwback number to what we've had previously. But, yeah, new class, new number, so we just figured it was time to move on from it.
Now, you got both Junior's eyebrows and mine sort of puckered up here trying to think. Hang on a second.
I'm pretty good with historical numbers here. Yeah. There's no throwback that I can remember that's not 57.
I'm going to have to dig through. I got some old programs that his dad was in.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You got me stumped.
We're looking forward to working on it. My dad just moved into his new house, so it's got a bigger garage so we can get the car in there. And then Mr. Junior Hanley's going to come give us a hand to do all the body work on it and build us a bunch of spares. So I'm really looking forward to racing a car that he's worked on, because nobody ever has anything bad to say.
No, you can't say anything bad about Junior. It would be, I think that's against the law.
Yeah, I think so too. So, no, I'm really looking forward to it. So, kind of nervous, kind of excited. So, it'll be different.
One negative thing that I think everybody's allowed to say about Junior is he's stubborn. I think everybody's allowed to call Junior Hanley stubborn.
Yeah, my dad's worked with him for 30 years.
Exactly.
So he knows how to work around the stubbornness.
Steve, talk a little bit. You've obviously got the car. You've got to, drool over it and sit in it and talk to it and all the things that you racers do, because you're all crazy. But you've got to, get underneath, and you've got to take a look at what you've got, assembled behind you. You are known as a vintage modified guy, I think we understand the differences between the two cars, but tell our listeners how much of a difference, when you hear modified, you're jumping from Canadian vintage modified to an Oscar modified. These are completely different race cars, and yeah. I just want you to kind of break it down for any listeners that's out there that don't really know the difference between what you're jumping out of, kind of the cliff notes of what you're jumping out of to what you're jumping into.
Yeah, like the hobby car does have its benefits, but like the tire holds it back. Like you run an 8-inch treaded tire, you run steel non-rebuildable, just straight up pro shocks or QA1 shocks. The ride height's like, I think it's 6.5 inches, the frame rail's off the ground, so it sits really high. Where you move into the Oscar modified, you're running on slicks, you're allowed Penske coilovers, you're sitting really low to the ground. It's I do got to admit though, the vintage modified does have a better brake package.
Yeah.
we've we had the Wilwood four pistons on the vintage, and we're going to the standard Howe single piston caliper, so the brakes will take a little bit of getting used to. Runs the same crate motor, like the same 602. So it's mainly just trying to get a handle on the tires. Like, they put a new tire out this year, and getting a handle on all the shock package, and it's completely different for us. Like, we're jumping in both feet into the deep end, and we're hoping we can come out of it somewhat unscathed.
Yeah, number 46. It's number 46. That's what you're going to. That's your old go-kart number.
Is it? That's his old go-kart number.
I'm scrolling through.
No comment.
No comment.
I'm scrolling through Facebook. Like, yeah. I wasn't listening to anything you were saying. I was looking for the number, man. Yeah. That's it. That's all I was looking for. I don't even care.
Steve,
can't comment on that.
I know you can't. I know you can't.
That Oscar Modified is quite a bit heavier, too, I would think, than the Vintage Modified, wouldn't it be?
It's pretty close. Like, with the crate motor, the Vintage Modified had to weigh 2450 with the driver, so I think the Oscar might be a couple hundred pounds heavier, but there's not much of a difference. But man, when I sat in that thing a couple weeks ago, at my car sitting at Grisdale's at my dad's work right now, so when I sat in that thing, I looked around and go, I can't see anything in here.
Yeah,
it's got rear view mirrors, you can't see out of it. It's got a side mirror, you can't see out of it. So, and the big change is I'm allowed radio this year, so just trying to get used to have someone talking to me for a 30-lap feature will be a big change, too.
Oh, it will be, but they're going to come in real handy from a visual standpoint. Yeah. You'll want a good spotter, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. We're still looking around, but we have a few guys in mind.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Man, this is going to be exciting, I can tell you that. You getting into this class, and good on you. You championed in the Canadian Vintage Modifieds,
yeah.
And John Carley, new president of the Canadian Vintage Modifieds. Well, not brand new. He has done it before, but he's new this year. And it sounds like there's great things coming for the CVMs.
Yeah, I mean, we may have moved on, but we have, in total, we've got 25 years invested with that club. You know, sure, times were tough the last 4 or 5 years for us, but you know, Dad and I tried to do the best that we could with what we were handed, and, you know, it didn't work out. Fresh face seems to be turning everything around. So, you know, Trendle Racing, we wish nothing but the best for that club moving forward. If I don't get to race with them ever again, I'm probably going to go sit in the front grandstands at Flamborough, have a flam burger, and enjoy the show, and hopefully the cars come back. That's the big thing. Everybody says that they're going to race, but
yeah, the proof will be in night number
one. At the
end
of the day, talk is cheap. People need to actually support the club, and I honest to God hope that people support it and it can continue on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You touched on something there, flam burgers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the
man.
Best name. It's the best name for a burger, for a racetrack. I mean, everybody knows a flam burger.
I feel ripped off every time I go and I spend $6.50 on it, but there I am every Saturday night in the food line buying tickets so I can spend $6 on a hamburger.
You got to get
left
a flam burger.
Left side weight, my friend.
I have 1 or 2 extra pounds of left side weight, so, you know, a burger wouldn't hurt me.
That's no,
right.
Not at all.
If you just scrunch down a little bit, a little bit, it's lower CG, right? If you you just duck a little bit.
Stephen, this has been great catching up with you, man. This is exciting news to see you in that car. We don't know what the number is going to be, but...
No, we don't. We don't know what the number is going to be.
Junior's hedging on 46.
I'm sorry about ruining your surprise there, but that's what good hard reporting does.
That's okay. I try to keep it a secret, but... My dad's usually the one that tells everybody, and then they tell me what's going on.
That's right.
I wasn't allowed to tell anybody we were buying this car, and then I got 50 messages from people telling me, oh, what a beautiful car that you guys bought. My dad had to show people because he was so proud of it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. There's a lot of hard-nosed racers in the Oscar Modified, and hopefully my 17 years that open wheel experience can parlay and make me not look too foolish in this new club.
Oh, man, you're going to fit like a glove. I can guarantee that. Steve, I can't wait to see what the car looks like because you guys are famous for having the best appearing all the time. So
yeah, it's a shame when I put it in the wall because I know how bad my dad or how hard my dad works on it. So I'm lucky. I just get to show up at the track with my helmet bag and my wife and the end of the night, I put it back in the car, load my cooler up, and go home. I don't have to work on it. So, my dad does everything. It's his baby. He loves working on it. So I'm just privileged that I get to drive that thing for him.
Well, when you get it done, I want to see some photos. Make sure you copy us in the tweet. We want to have a look at
it. Not the wall part. Not the wall part, the wrap part.
Yeah.
The wrap part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a problem at all.
Looking cool, man.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks so much for the time tonight. You get off to work there. Make some money. We want to see you at the beach.
Yeah, my wife wants me to make some money, too, so I'm off.
Good deal. That's Steve Trendle, driver of the, we're not exactly sure, but we'll have to wait and see. Junior figures the 46 is what this car's going
to
be.
I can't lie. That was pretty simple to go back through. You go through somebody's Facebook page.
You've got to love the internet.
He gave it away by saying throwback.
Throwback.
It could have been any number between 1 and 100, but if you go back and you find a throwback picture.
It could be one of his dad's old numbers.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be that he
likes
Cole Trickle.
But if it was, it'd be 57.
It could be that he likes Cole Trickle.
Yeah, you know, could be. 46. Well, maybe that's what it's going to come out looking like.
I don't think so.
Okay, we're going to hit our final break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Harrison Burton. He won his first Xfinity race. We got a clip with him. Stick around. We'll be back.
Hey, race fans. This is Cliff from Auto Clearing Motor Speedway. And you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Yeah!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you, you are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we're back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Remember now, next Sunday, March the 8th, we will not be on the air. We are setting aside for the Raptors game that's going to take place here on Sirius XM Channel 167. So we're going to take a week off, and then we're going to be back with you starting March the 15th. That's Sunday, March the 15th. Same normal time on Racetime Radio, and we're going to go right from there all the way through to the fall. So we're going to be off for 1 week, and then we're going to be back with you full tilt. We'll have a brand new lineup, and we'll be all ready to go. Looking forward to it. This past weekend at California, it was the NASCAR Xfinity Series on Saturday, a dynamite race for anybody that may have missed that race. You want to go back and you want to see a good one, check that baby out. It was a dynamite race. Got to put it out to DGM. Of course, Mario Gosselin and his bunch. He's got two cars that he had there at California on the weekend. Alex Labbe come home 13th. So a great run for Alex Labbe. And the number 92 of Josh Williams, he's our honorary Canadian. He's in with a bunch of them. And Josh had a top 10 finish. How about that? Dynamite for those guys, Junior. Nice to see Mario's teams getting some success. He's got two great drivers there. Man, I hope it translates into some more revenue for these guys so that they can continue to put these numbers up.
Yeah, for sure. They're doing a great job. And when you look at the adversity, I think that Labbe was even in position to get a 7th to 9th place finish out of that.
Yeah.
Had he not, you know, missed the pit box, which was one of the busiest stops on pit road down towards the end of that race. Just a tough situation for him, but he still rallied for a 13th place spot, which is awesome.
It happens, and though, right? Kurt Busch today in the cup race. He missed his pit road.
It happens.
Or he missed
for sure.
His pit.
It's super hard. There's 36 numbers, 40 numbers down pit road, hanging signs. And when you're driving, you know the vicinity of your box, but you rely on everything. And when something changes around you,
you miss that 10 feet. Look out.
When a car pulls out, it's not like these guys. I know on TV it looks like they're doing 5 miles an hour down pit road. They're doing 55 miles an hour. I think pit road speed out there is 45 miles an hour. But think about that. That's 45. What does that translate into on the kilometer side? You're basically highway speed.
That's 60.
Outside
60.
City.
45 miles an hour is 60.
Yeah, so outside city streets. And you've got to stop within a 10-foot box while everything else is going in the same direction. So,
yeah,
definitely a tough deal, but a great showing, a great effort by DGM, and a solid West Coast swing so far. Can they back it up? Hopefully they can back
They're gonna.
In Phoenix. I know one of their strong suits is the short tracks, so
yeah.
I think that they're going to be really strong out there as well. So
Canadians,
it should be interesting.
Canadians in NASCAR Xfinity, please do me a favor. Check them out on Twitter. DGM_racing is their Twitter feed. Look them up on Facebook. Follow them. Send them some messages. Come on, Canada, get behind them. Let's really give these guys a push. They are lighting the lamp. We've been watching them since they started doing this.
Yeah.
And I know they haven't got the ears and eyes that they deserve. I know we try and, let everybody know about them. But, look, they're really starting to turn it on now, and they're not giving up. They're going at it, and they really deserve everybody's support up here in Canada. So if you haven't followed them yet on Twitter, you haven't liked them on Facebook, do us a favor, do yourself a favor, and do that. Check them out, support them. Alex Labbe, Josh Williams, both of them, the 90, the 92, and the 36 are the three numbers that team has got. Josh is going to be their constant all year. And I know Alex, he was only supposed to run like 5-6 races, and he's done the first two. So I don't think he was scheduled to do this race here. And look at this. He gets a 13th place finish.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Do us a favor and hit him up. Let's hear from Harrison Burton. He went to Victory Lane for his first win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Good on him. Driver of the number 20. Here he is in the NASCAR Media Center.
That feels awesome to win. It's, we had a lot. I had a rough year last year in trucks, and I got told all off season that I couldn't do it, and my team got told that we could never do it, and that feels really good to go out and win. That's kind of what was motivating to me all off season to work hard and get better, and motivating my team to work hard and get better. We have anything we need. The resources at Joe Gibbs Racing are incredible, and I think they do a better job preparing us as drivers than any other race team. So that means a lot, especially when you have limited practice and you got to come out and execute. So really cool to get it done. And I knew we had a fast car going in today, just didn't need to screw it up.
I've interviewed Harrison Burton, I'm going to say like 7-8 times live. Been at the track and interviewed him The last time I interviewed him was at CTMP last fall for the Silverado 250 weekend. And by the way, that race is back on the schedule for Labor Day in 2020. If tickets aren't on sale now, I'd be surprised. If they're not, they are going to be soon. So get to CTMP and get those tickets. But interviewing and speaking with Harrison, I tell you what, Junior, this guy is the real deal.
Yeah.
He's not. I know his dad is Jeff Burton.
Yeah.
And a lot of a lot of people would say, he's silver spoon kid. The way has been cut real easy for him. Not so. You have to have results. You have to be able to do the stuff. And you know what? He is doing it. He is doing it, and he is one of the most well-mannered young men that I have spoke to in the upper three of NASCAR. Harrison Burton is all of that. And I'll tell you what, I was super, super happy for him. I love seeing people get results that have earned their way to it, and he has earned his way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you look at, a certain amount of opportunity came from the name that he has, Burton, right? But you have to take every single advantage that you have to get anywhere in this sport. I mean, you have to exploit every single advantage that you can possibly find to get anywhere. And when you look at the names that, their dad was a professional race car driver, or their dad was a successful businessman that didn't make it. That didn't win an Xfinity race, that didn't have numerous top five results in trucks, that didn't win some of the most prestigious super late model events, that didn't win the ARCA races and K&N races that he's won. The list is very long. He has to go out there and perform, and he does a great job with that. I'm a fan of Harrison Burton. I have been since he strapped into a super late model at New Smyrna at 12 years old and went out and spanked the field. He's a great kid. Definitely well deserved, and that team is different than what Christopher Bell had last year.
Oh, sure it is.
They've got a different guy on top of the box. They've got a different, backbone of crew, and they still went out there and executed, and that's a big deal.
If you think Harrison Burton now, because he has won this race and now qualifies for the playoffs, if you think for a second he is going to switch it into glide, you're wrong. Here's what Harrison had to say about that.
Well, it's huge. But you can get kind of lulled to sleep if you're not careful. We're in the playoffs. We don't have to win. That's not how we're going to roll. So we're going to go and attack next week like we didn't win this week. And that's how my whole team is. We just want to go out and execute and do our job every weekend. So our ability to kind of move forward, I think, is what's going to decide how the rest of the season goes and how much momentum and how many points we build up and all this going into the playoffs, because it's every spot matters, every win matters, and it's fun to win. So we're going to try and win every weekend.
I wouldn't expect anything else from those guys.
Well, no, and we had Grant Enfinger on this program
two hours after
winning at Daytona, and winning early in the season, it allows you the opportunity not to win. Which is more powerful than having the pressure to win. When, the situation that he's in right now, they can try some stuff. They can do some R&D. They can test for the fall. But it also gives them the opportunity to make some changes and to also jump on every opportunity that comes his way to win throughout the season.
Yeah. So it sure does.
It's an advantage to win early in the season.
Sure is. But you know what? That's going to do it for us tonight here on Racetime Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the RTR studio. Got to thank Scotty and everybody back in Toronto for getting us on the air on Sirius XM Channel 167. He's Junior. I'm Joe Senior. I hate saying Senior. That's going to do it for us tonight. Remember, we're not here next Sunday night. But we will be back March the 15th and beyond, okay? And when we come back, I'm going to release our 2020 live race broadcast schedule that we're going to have. So we got lots coming at you, lots of exciting stuff. But you have a good week. Be safe, and we will catch you next time right here on Race Time Radio.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
This moves down. White flag is out. One to go. No pressure from behind, buddy.
Thanks for listening to Race Time Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.